The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
It's Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis, the vacationing Mark Davis. He will return on Monday. I hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser, G-L-E-I-S-E-R. Follow my weekly column at youtellmetexas.com, my blog. And if you're ever in East Texas, I hope you listen to my news and talk radio station, KTBB 97.5 FM and 600 AM, where we hold forth in East Texas in much the same way that Mark and company hold forth here in North Texas at 660 AM, The Answer. We're going to go a little bit different direction here in the third hour of the show this morning. I have on the line with me Seth Hetna, a former correspondent with the Associated Press and author of Trump Russia, the definitive history of President Trump's ties to and alleged collusion with Russia. And Seth, did I pronounce your name correctly? And if so, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, it's Hetna. Thanks.
Very good. So give us your précis. What is the thrust of your reporting and the book that you've written?
Well, what I did was this book started as an attempt to try to understand what all was going on with Trump and Russia here. So I just started going back in history. And I found that Trump's connections with Russia goes way back, way further than most people realized. And after talking to former federal investigators and prosecutors, it seems it started in the 1980s when there was a group of Russian criminals who bought a block of apartments in Trump Tower for less than $6 million. And they were laundering money they made in a gas tax scam they ran with the Italian-American mafia. And that was kind of the start of Trump's relationship, and it continued in his casinos and his building projects, and it went on for years.
Is it your position, allegation, that this money laundering and other illegal activity was taking place with Trump's knowledge?
Yes. I think at some point it would have been impossible for him not to know. Just to take this first example I just mentioned, when somebody who barely speaks English shows up buying a big block of apartments with money they can't explain, I don't think you need to be, an investigator to figure out what's going on. And I think Trump, here's how I explain it, is that Trump wanted an edge. He wanted to be the best developer in New York. And so he was taking money and looking the other way, and it did give him an edge. His buildings were set up that way.
What do you mean it gave him an edge? He rented space. Wasn't that the business he was in?
Right, but not everybody's going to take these kinds of customers. Trump Tower, for example, was one of the – there was the second building in New York to take money from anonymous corporations, which means you could come in set up a shell corporation and buy an apartment there. And there weren't many buildings that did that, and Trump's did.
Didn't the Helmsleys do that in their day? I thought they did.
It was Olympic Tower was the other one that did it before he did. And I think now there's a lot of developers in New York who take money from Russians. There's plenty of oligarchs living in buildings all over Manhattan, but Trump kind of pioneered this push.
Well, okay, then let's take it a step further. What is the significance of Trump having rented space to perhaps shady Russians in the 1980s? What is the connection to his presidency in 2018?
Well, I'll take a little further. So it's a relationship that developed over time. It starts in the 80s. In the 1990s, he had his casino, the Taj Mahal, became kind of the favorite destination for Russian mobsters. And prosecutors I talked to said that they were tracking criminals going down there with bags of money to launder them. And then we fast forward to the 2000s, the operation grows even bigger, and there's larger amounts of money coming into his buildings in New York and in Florida. So these are relationships that developed over time. So when Russia comes knocking on the door of the campaign, as they did repeatedly, you know, no one told them to go pound sand, or no one called the FBI. These were kind of this was a familiar relationship at this point.
So okay, then let me take it. So you're if I'm hearing you correctly, you are. If I'm overstating this, tell me. You are saying that Trump is dirty because he has long had connections to or associations with dirty Russians.
Correct.
So the president of the United States, are you saying that he's criminally dirty as he sits there?
I'm saying that he's a mob-friendly businessman, and he launders money for Russian criminals. Yeah.
So you're accusing the president of the United States of money laundering?
Correct. Yes.
Well, Seth, with all due respect, if that's true and if you know it, surely the FBI knows it. Why has nothing been done?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah.
So now let me understand this. So you're saying Trump is dirty, he's laundering money, and you're saying that the FBI is either so bumbling or so corrupt that they haven't taken action on it.
So here's how it starts. In the 80s, for example, you know, the prosecutors I talked to, they were looking for the Russian criminal end of this. They weren't looking at Trump. He wasn't really well known then. And they look at that wistfully, that they do wish they'd taken a harder look at Trump. In the 90s, with the casinos, you know, those casinos were kind of a cesspool. There were organized criminals on the payroll there. There were all kinds of problems that I go into in my book. You know, Trump had a lot of power in New Jersey over the casino commission there, and investigations were basically shut down or run to ground. And then, you know, he got more sophisticated as time went on. These are extremely difficult crimes to untangle. There's shell corporations. There's money moving in through all kinds of anonymous corporations. And real estate is really kind of the last frontier. There's no SEC. There's no, Federal Reserve, as there is in the banking system. It's kind of the Wild West, and it's kind of the last frontier for money laundering that's really unpoliced.
So, again, let me make sure I'm understanding you. You're saying that basically we have an unindicted felon sitting in the Oval Office at the White House. Is that what you're saying?
Well, can I build a criminal case against him? I'm not sure. All I can tell you is that he was a mob-friendly businessman, and he has laundered money for years for Russian criminals. Now, can I prove that in a court of law? That's going to be tricky, you know.
Well, you say the FBI knows about it and is taking no action on it. Why are they sitting on it?
I don't know. The FBI, they didn't. You know, there was a Russian organized crime task force in New York that I spoke with, and to be straight up with you, you know, they didn't. They never investigated Trump from maybe the late 90s through 2004. Now, what they did after that, I don't know. But
well, he's been under a microscope for past 2 years, first by the FBI and now by the special counsel Robert Mueller. Have they uncovered this?
I don't know. I think we're going to get a real, you know, I think Robert Mueller's leaving no stone unturned. So I think we're going to get a complete accounting from Robert Mueller when his report comes in.
Well, if it ever comes in, this thing appears to be open-ended. Peter Strzok said in one of his infamous text messages to his then-girlfriend Lisa Page that by what he knows, and he was at a very high level at the time, quote, there's not a lot of there. Do you disagree with that?
I'm not sure what he's referring to. Is he referring to the collusion story? With the collusion story, quite honestly, that may be accurate. You know, we've focused a lot on this dossier with its allegations of sex in Moscow hotel rooms, and you know, the sources I've talked to kind of poo-pooed that there really is not much there. You know, I think it may be more of a financial relationship than the one that's described, and the collusion. There may not be collusion, but going back, I found evidence of corruption. Absolutely.
So let me ask you this, Seth. Let's assume that all of what you say is true, and that is a very, very big leap for me, but let's assume for the sake of this discussion that all of what you say is true. How is it manifesting itself in his governance, in his execution of his duties as the president?
Well, that's an excellent question. Here's how it's manifesting itself. Is this administration seems to have two policies when it comes to Russia, that his cabinet members and his intelligence community officials take a hard line to Russia, that they see Russia as interfering in our politics and in European politics and trying to divide our alliances. At the top, however, seems to be a different policy, and Trump seems to be under some kind of sway where he's easily influenced by Vladimir Putin.
Give me an example.
Well, okay, fine. The most recent one would be the North Korea summit, where he canceled, the military exercises between Korea and the United States that have been going on for years.
Well, how could that not be legitimately seen as a move toward rapprochement, where he says, "Okay, I'll take this step. Now your turn." How's that not a legitimate step?
It is a move towards rapprochement, but again, his own administration was against it, and Trump is the one who's coming out with this kind of different level of policy.
Let me again challenge you. The fact that a bunch of cabinet members and a bunch of people in administration are opposed to something that the president makes a decision on, that's not unprecedented. That happens in every administration.
It does, but it keeps happening over and over again with Russia. When he's alone with Russian officials, he seems to say things and do things that his own administration is unprepared for or unaware of. And that seems to me to be kind of is kind of a really I think it's a dangerous situation, quite honestly.
Well, let me give you – I'm not expert, Seth, and I will not – I will concede that you have done research that I have not done, talked to people I have not talked to, but sitting here as a rube in Texas watching the president work when he is somewhat cordial and makes on a personal level friendly overtures to Vladimir Putin, I don't see that as any different than me as a businessman being courteous and friendly to my business adversaries, because if you're courteous and friendly to somebody you're in an adversarial position with, you might get a chance to get something out of them that you won't get if you're being aggressive and hostile.
Absolutely. And, I'm not saying we shouldn't talk to Russia, just as you shouldn't be talking to your business adversaries. But just at this, on the same, the other end of that is that you watch your business adversaries very carefully, and you talk to them so you can understand what they're doing.
Are you saying that Donald Trump's not watching very carefully what Vladimir Putin is doing?
I think he underestimates the threat that Vladimir Putin poses to America.
Well, that would make him like George W. Bush then, and Barack Obama.
Well, look, our American presidents have tried for years to try to build a relationship with Putin. He's a very difficult and prickly figure. And he's cast himself now as an enemy of the West. That's his kind of role, where he's this kind of guy sticking his thumb in our eye, and that's the role he wants to play in international affairs. And so we need to be extremely careful with somebody like that, who has really attacked our democracy and come in and tries to wreak havoc and cause mayhem. And, that's someone that we should be keeping our eye on. And yes, we should be talking to him. But to be kind of reaching over the aisle the way Trump is, I think is a mistake.
Okay, well, so Seth, just to sum up in the time we have left here, just to make sure that we've gotten what you're saying correctly, that we're hearing you correctly, you believe that Donald Trump is an unindicted felon sitting in the office, that he's dirty, that he has engaged in or aid and abetted in or at least looked the other way against very, very serious crimes. You believe that he has an improper relationship with Russia, and that you know these things, and perhaps the Mueller investigation knows these things, and eventually they'll all come to light. Is that correct?
I'm not going to call him an unindicted felon. I'm going to use the words I said earlier, which is like he's a mob-friendly businessman, and he has laundered money for the Russian mob.
The laundering money is a felony, so then he makes him an unindicted felon.
Okay, if you want to say that, that's fine.
Okay, that's what you're saying. So either this is all, either you're going to be proved right or not, depending on what we eventually, if we ever bring the Mueller investigation to a close, we'll find these things out. If you're right, it's huge, Seth. I think it's a long way between where you are and inconclusive proof, but it is interesting. And I thank you for coming on this morning and giving us your position. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a good day, and we'll talk about that in the remainder of the hour here on the Mark Davis Show. What do you think? I think he might be full of beans. Is he another left-wing liberal journalist who has it in for a successful Republican? Or, you know, what if it's true? What are your thoughts on that? 866-660-5759. It's all your calls all the way to the top of the hour after we get back from the break here on 660 AM The Answer. Our guest in the previous segment just dropped a bomb on us. His name was Seth Hetana. Still not sure, but he's a former Associated Press correspondent, wrote a book called Trump Russia, The Definitive History of President Trump's Ties to and Alleged Collusion with Russia. He just said before the break that Donald Trump knowingly engaged in money laundering for the Russians, and so that's huge. That makes Donald Trump a felon of the highest order, and yet the man occupies the office. So what does Seth know that the FBI doesn't know, given the fact that the FBI has been on a mission to destroy Donald Trump for at least 2 years, really closer to 3 years? I mean, if he knows this, then surely law enforcement knows this. David and Denton, what do you think?
Well, first of all, you know, it's easy for people, especially in the press, written or otherwise, to simply make statements about things because it creates controversy. The only thing that matters in issues like this is proof and evidence. So if you have proof and you have evidence, okay, there's no need to play any games. Lay it out on the table. Let's see what it is. And if it sticks and if it's true, then the appropriate measures need to be taken.
Do you agree with me that if this guy knows it, surely the CIA, the intelligence agencies, and the FBI knows it?
Yes, but it goes to a deeper problem, and that is if they do know, okay, if it is true and if they do know, what are they doing? What kind of games are they playing? This is not in their scope or description of what they're supposed to be and what they're and who they're supposed how they're supposed to act and conduct themselves.
This is
craziness.
If they know that the president of the United States, before he was president of the United States, engaged in money laundering, they should have been on that a long time ago. And I'm back to this. I can't stand guys like this. If he knows it, he has greater sleuthing power than the FBI. In the case of the FBI, an agency that has been actively trying to sink Donald Trump for quite some time now. The stuff like this makes me insane. I'm glad we had him on so we can clearly understand just exactly what it is we're up against out there. David, thanks for your call. It opens a line, 866-660-5759. It's all your calls between now and the top of the hour here on the Mark Davis Show. Paul Gleiser is sitting in. Be here all this week. Mark returns on Monday here on 660 AM. The Answer. Now to the newsroom, and here's Gordon Griffin. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. This is the Mark Davis Show at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. I'll be with you the rest of the week. Mark Davis returns on Monday. Hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser, G-L-E-I-S-E-R, on my weekly column blog at youtellmetexas.com. From now to the top of the hour, let's blow and go. What are your thoughts on all the things we've raised this morning? 866-660-5759. Jim and Garland, you're next. Go.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I was calling, referencing back to what you were talking about, whether Congress could, whether the president or the Congress is at fault on this immigration issue and the separation of the children. And basically, I think Chuck Schumer basically answered your question best with his direct quote yesterday, saying the president can solve this instantaneously with an executive order. And what he said, my view is, I am advocating my authority and Congress's authority to correct the laws that are on the book, and I want the president of the United States to act as a dictator and issue an executive order overriding Congress and the laws that are written, and therefore solving the problem by fiat rather than through the way it's supposed to be solved.
Well, that's the model that that seemed to be in vogue during the Obama years, who Obama very fatuously told one group that, you know, I can't just, under our Constitution, I can't just change immigration law, and then proceeded to turn right around with the stroke of his infamous pen, change immigration law. The problem we have here, Jim, is we went for years and years and years and years, decades, not enforcing the law, and along comes a president who dare say, I'm going to enforce the law. And you know, when you've been going a long time doing it one way, when you suddenly do it another, there are dislocations, and they're going to happen. And my question that I started the show off with this morning is, do we have the stomach for that? Because there are many problems that we face that have festered for years and for decades, and solving them is going to be abrupt and cause abrupt dislocations and bring about short-term pain. Do we have the stomach for that? That's the question. I don't have the answer.
But well, I do. The American public can solve the problem. They can put the pressure on their elected representatives to do the job they were sent.
Well, they're going to have to withstand the onslaught of a media that's going to exploit their emotions in every imaginable way, and you're going to see little children and crying babies and starving grandmothers and everything that they can show you in order to prove just how mean and inappropriate solving the problems really is. Thanks for your call. It opens up a line, 866-660-5759. Ken and McKinney, you're on the Mark Davis Show. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Good morning. So I can't wait to read Seth's upcoming blockbuster, Hillary Clinton, the pay-to-play queen. The original Russian collusion was between Obama, Clinton, and Russia. That's how come part of Ukraine now, you know, is flying the red, white, and blue Russian flag, or blue and red Russian flag.
Well, let me ask you. You heard that interview, Ken, because I tried to pin him down a little bit in the segment that we had. Did you hear anything of a specific actionable nature where you go, "Oh my goodness, that's you"? Wow.
No, but it reminded me of how the Mueller probe got started. Was that the FBI leaked stuff to the press, and then the press ran with it, and then the FBI quoted that as a source to support their FISA warrant.
It's all what I heard was innuendo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I heard.
He's just playing his little role to keep the thing going, and. I don't know, the double standard's hilarious.
Here's my other deal. If he knows this to a certainty, then how in the world does the FBI, which is clearly has been out to get Donald Trump, how do they not know it to a certainty? And if they know it to a certainty, why is no action being taken?
Exactly. I mean, they wouldn't have to play this shell game with a Mueller probe. They'd just go right at him with hard, you know, evidence.
Yeah, just simply lay it out. They can't indict him while he's sitting in office. But if they know this has been going on for all this time, he was indictable before he held office. And if Seth Hetton, whatever his name is, knows this, surely the law enforcement apparatus of the United States knows this. And yet, there's been no action. We've been now, however many year and however many weeks into the Mueller probe, and still nothing coming out of it. Thanks very much for your call. That opens the line, 866-660-5759. Ryan and Wiley, you're next on the Mark Davis Show. Good morning.
Hey, I just think this is a guy who's just trying to sell some bucks. You know, an argument could be made that if he has specific information about a crime and has failed to disclose it to law enforcement, he could be deemed to be complicit.
He could be indicted. He could be indicted for that. He could be indicted for that if he has constructive knowledge of a crime and he kept it to himself for his own personal purposes. That's an indictable offense. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, I think the reality is he's doing the liberal dance where you take a bunch of excrement and you throw it against the wall and see how much of it sticks. And they have the philosophy that if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes truth. He had no specificity in terms of his accusations. Everything was broad and generalized and very nonspecific. And I think a guy like that should be dismissed out of hand.
I do, too. Now, you know, and I will tell you right here, Ryan, that if Donald Trump or Barack Obama or George W. Bush or John McCain or Mitt Romney or whomever you pick has committed crimes like what this guy, Seth Hetna, broadly implies. If any of those have committed such crimes, you know, off with their heads. They should be indicted, prosecuted, and punished. I'm not partisan in this. I want clean people in leadership roles in my government. It's my government. I'm not trying to protect anybody based on his or her party affiliation or political philosophy. If there's indictable crime, indict. I'm all for it. My first president I ever voted for was Richard Nixon. That was in 1972, that election, and not long after that, of course, the whole Watergate thing unfolded. And when I finally became convinced that he really had acted improperly, I quit defending him. And I would do that for anybody, irrespective of how much I may agree with him politically.
Absolutely. For me, I'm going to save my money. I'm not going to buy his book.
Well, that's probably a good idea. You know, and if he could write a book about the filled with innuendo about Donald Trump and the Russians, it'd be a lot less innuendo and a whole lot more concrete if he would write a similar book about Hillary Clinton. But you'll note that he has not written that book. Ryan, thanks very much for your call. That opens the line at 866-660-5759. Mark in Fort Worth, you're next on The Mark Davis Show. Go.
Yeah, I was wondering, with all this crackdown that Trump's done on the border and everything, I'm sure it'll be just a short time that we hear about the ICE agents raiding all of his construction sites, won't it?
Well, that's probably true, and you know, I would believe that by now, given the fact that he knows how vulnerable he is to any kind of attack, legitimate or illegitimate, he would be particularly careful to be sure that there is no chance of a legitimate attack. And I would bet that the crews on his construction sites, the paperwork is absolutely 100% spick and span.
So you're saying as many construction sites as he has, he doesn't have one illegal alien working?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm going to say
they have the paperwork to cover their rears.
No, I'm saying that I would believe that a man that is in his position knows that could come at him and is taking every reasonable and every prudent measure to make sure that there's no there on that subject, because he knows if there is there, they're going to find the there and stick it to him.
Okay, so you're saying the ICE agents won't be raiding because he's covered, but you're not willing to say, you would pretty much in fact say, there's no illegal aliens working on his construction site.
I don't know that, Mark. Anybody can slip through. There's no intentional. I doubt seriously, again, since the man knows that if he were intentionally breaking the law, it would be brought down on him like the hammers of hell. I don't think there is any intentional violation of federal immigration law on behalf of a president who has got elected on the subject of fastidiousness with respect to immigration law. I don't think he's stupid enough to make himself vulnerable in that way.
Right, but I just heard on the news this morning, I'm sorry, I cannot remember, but I can pull it back up and get back. It was in Michigan or someplace, a big ICE raid, and they were talking about, yes, I'm sure most of the people in there don't work, but they're just trying to make a better life. They're not illegal. I mean, they're illegal, but they're just trying to make a better life and da-da-da-da-da. Who sent those ICE agents? It would have been his administration. So his administration is going to send those same ICE agents to his construction sites.
Well, first of all, it may be his administration, but it's, as we've talked about yesterday and as I've talked about many, many times, it may be his administration, but it's clearly not his bureaucracy. The bureaucracy, the permanent federal bureaucracy, is almost to a man or woman opposed to Donald Trump. So anybody in a bureaucratic, in a functionary position in the government that would have any opportunity to stick it to Donald Trump is going to do it.
So we're having more raids by ICE agents, but you're saying it's done by people that hate him.
I don't know whether you're obviously possessed of information that I don't have. I don't know if we're having more raids or fewer raids by ICE agents. It is ICE's job to make sure that employers are complying with federal law, and if they're out there doing that, God bless them. But if you want me to believe that Donald Trump doesn't know that if he were knowingly, or companies that have bear his name or his imprimatur or have involvement with him, if he doesn't know that he would be massively vulnerable if he were breaking the law with respect to employing illegal workers, if you think he doesn't know that, then you're crazy. Of course he knows that, and as a result, he's going to act accordingly. I think he's probably pretty clean. Mark, that's as far as we can go on this because we got other callers. 866-660-5759. Jeff and Alan, you're next on the Mark Davis Show. Go.
Yeah, the previous caller there, I'd like to just inform him a little bit. When you build a building or anything else, you hire subcontractors. And you don't know who the subcontractors are hiring.
You also enter into an agreement with those subcontractors that they will adhere to the following terms and conditions, that they will conduct their work. You're going to do all of that stuff. Can Donald Trump or any guy who's building great big projects, can he know down to the last man every person on his job site and know that person is an absolute? There's absolutely no way. Of course not.
Yeah. Of course not. You know, I'd like to ask everybody who has a problem with all of this. There are millions and millions of people all over the world, Africa, you name it. Why aren't we just bringing everybody over here if we're going to be such bleeding hearts?
Well, because
we cannot support the world. And I'd like to ask another question of anyone who's complaining.
Okay.
How many homeless Americans or foster children are you Have you adopted or financially taken care of?
Well, how many people
living in your extra bedroom?
Or you are using my home analogy? How many of these families have you let move in to your house? That's a great question, Jeff.
That's exactly what I'm asking.
All right.
You know? Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. One more call, Chris in Garland. Chris in Garland. You're next on the Mark Davis Show. Take off.
Hey there. Hey, I'm thoroughly enjoying your show, man. You're an awesome guy.
Well, thank you. Tell that to my wife, please.
Well, you give all these people time to talk, and you don't step on them, and I'm amazed that they don't try to outshout you and stuff like they generally do. My concern is, actually, to tell you the truth, I don't know if this is heartless or not, but I could care less about them people down there, okay? I don't know if that's heartless or not.
It is heartless. Of course you have to care about them. They're human beings, but you can't care about them to the exclusion of caring about your own country.
I care about first. You know, I got my own group of human beings I like to care about initially,
right,
and it's an order of priority, and I'm concerned about the American citizens. And I know, actually, to tell you the truth, I do know that we need some people to man these job sites because, A, most, but not most, but a lot of Americans don't know how to do anything anyway or tap on the computer all day. So we do need people to work, but if they could tag them and make something off of them, you know, get a little return on them, you know, because they're using a lot more of the system than they're giving back. So if we could just tag them and collect from them and get rid of the ones that are trouble, man, get rid of the ones that are in the jailhouses, get rid of them, and then we got room for our own criminals to put in there.
In other words, let's have a fair, sane, and controlled system of immigration. What a novel thought, and what a way to wrap up the hour. We're going to wrap up the hour when we get back. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Don't go away. We have had just a rollicking good time this morning here on the Mark Davis Show. I'm Paul Gleiser filling in. I'll be here tomorrow and Friday. Hope you'll join me then, and we'll continue the conversation. Mark will be back on Monday. I hope also that you will follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser, Gleiser, and follow my weekly column where I opine on such things as we've discussed today at YouTellMeTexas.com. My thanks to Rhonda K. Moreland, producer extraordinaire, to Shane Bell, who keeps the ship in the center of the channel, keeps us from running aground on the technical side, and my thanks to you for listening and for taking the time to call. God bless America. God bless Texas. God bless you. Go out and have a great day, everybody.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.